chapter 13 today and verse 8. And as I looked at Hebrews 13, verse 8, one thing that I thought about is, you know, this year has taught us, maybe more than we realized in other years, that if one thing is certain, it is change, isn't it? Everything that we thought would be a certain way this year is different. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that. But I want you to think about it too. Even in a year that's not 2020, people are changing all of the time. Just think about the difference between your 20-year-old self and your 40-year-old self. Place yourself 20 years back from wherever you are, and you'll see what I mean by how people change so much. And maybe if you're 15 years old, you're thinking, well, I can't even go back that far. And that's my point exactly. Things change all the time, and people change all the time. But we're going to see this morning another area that Jesus is unique and different from us. We saw in Hebrews sometimes how similar Jesus is to us, surprisingly similar, because he shares our flesh and blood, although sinless. But today we see how Jesus is so different than us, he never changes. And I want you to see this morning why that is a good thing. So we're going to just focus on this one verse, Hebrews 13:8. It says again, we see Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. First off, I want the fact that we have spent basically 9 months in the book of Hebrews. We've had some different themes and different series and topics as we've gone throughout the year. But overall, as we look over the course of the year, we've had basically 9 months of Sundays in the book of Hebrews, and so I want that context to influence how we interpret this verse. Any communication that we have is influenced by context, and God's word is no different. So take a look at the verse before it. We were in Hebrews 13:7 last Sunday, and we saw a command to remember our church leaders and to learn from their way of life. And he says in there in Hebrews 13:7 to imitate their faith. And then right after that verse, Hebrews 13:7, we have this glorious verse about focusing on Jesus. So we see this idea of glance at your leaders, glance at people who have helped you to see what it means to live out the Christian life, people who are not the Son of God, but then focus on the Son of God. We saw the same idea earlier in Hebrews. If you think about it, back in Hebrews chapter 11, we had this whole great chapter of faith, and we saw all of these examples of faith so that we can see how faith is lived out. But then what did we see at the end of Hebrews 11? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. What does it say? Fix your eyes on Jesus. So we see the same theme today. We can look to people in the past who have walked with God. We can look to other people as examples of faith. And why, even if they're not from our generation? Because Jesus is the same, the faith is the same. So the world that we are in may be different. The circumstances that we are in may be different. The circumstances you and I are in even may be different. But Jesus is the same, so our faith is the same. So there's certain things we can learn from others, and we can focus our eyes on Jesus to walk with him. This is part of why I love remembering my grandpa's life. He pastored for over 4 decades in a very different time in our country than I am now. But I can look to his life, and because we have the same Jesus who hasn't changed, we have the same faith that hasn't changed. So even though I am a different person, even though I am in a different context, there's so much I can learn from him because we have the same Savior. So why all this focus on Jesus? Why would I take a whole entire verse, Hebrews 13:8, today? Why does the author of Hebrews do this several times where we look at others, but then he says, focus on Jesus? Well, just think about 3 reasons. People move, people die, and people disappoint us. But compare that to Jesus. Jesus will never move away from you. If you are in Christ, Romans tells us that you have the Spirit of Jesus in you. Jesus will never die. In fact, he rose from the dead. And what else? Jesus will never, ever disappoint you. We're also going to see not only this contrast with human leaders, if you look at verse 7, but look at the next verse. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 9. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to be in verses 9 to 16, and we're going to see there that there were some strange teachings that the people needed to watch out for and be aware of. They were false teachings that threatened to draw them away from the simplicity of faith in Christ. And so we see here at the verse right before Hebrews 13:8 about how Jesus doesn't change, that we can look to people but focus on Jesus because he won't change. And then we're going to see in verses 9 to 16 right after this verse today that people are always making up new things about how to try to get to God. But what do we need to know? The faith never changes because Jesus never changes. There's no such thing as new and improved Christianity. The gospel that was promised from the very moment that sin entered the world is the same gospel even today. And I won't tell you the whole story again because I've told it before about cult leaders I've met who've said, but we have a new revelation about Jesus Christ. No, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so the faith is the same, and it's gloriously the same. I want to show you the rest of our time today why that is a good thing. So my plan for the sermon is I want us to consider each of these, especially focusing on Hebrews. We're going to look at how is Jesus the same yesterday, what he did in the past, how is he the same today, and how is he the same forever? And then what we're going to do, we're just going to spend a few minutes in each of those, and then we're going to look at five comforting gospel truths that that means for you today. The fact that he's the same yesterday and today and forever, what does that mean for you today? So first, yesterday. What you might want to do to help you follow along, I want to ask you, I know as we meet outside, it's been a blessing to be out here together, but I know sometimes there's more distractions. And what might be helpful to you today, because we're going to be referencing so many different verses, is you might want to just flip in your Bible from Hebrews 13 to the beginning of Hebrews 1, because over the next 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to mention a lot of verses in Hebrews, and I'm basically going to go chronologically somewhat throughout Hebrews. So first, we see yesterday in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. This was in our scripture reading, what was read for us earlier today. The author of Hebrews quotes Psalm 102. He explains how Jesus was yesterday. He existed before. What was he doing a long time ago? Here's what the author of Hebrews said in Hebrews 1:10, quoting Psalm 102. You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Notice as we think about Jesus' creation power yesterday, so to speak, in the past, notice what he does here. The fact of Jesus' unchangeableness is proof of his divinity. What did I say earlier about normal people like us? We change all the time. So the fact that Jesus never changes is one of the many proofs of his divinity. And why do I mention that right now? Because look at Hebrews 1:10. He's quoting Psalm 102. Psalm 102 is talking about the Lord, talking about Yahweh. And the writer of the New Testament does what many of the apostles and many of the inspired writers of the New Testament did. He ascribes things that were said about God in the Old Testament to Jesus today. We see the same thing about God's unchanging character, for example, in Malachi 3:6. He says, I am the Lord, I do not change. And then if you have Hebrews 1 open, look at verse 2. This was also read in our scripture reading. We have this same idea of Jesus' involvement in creation right there, Hebrews 1:2. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Think about it for a moment. What was Jesus doing yesterday? And I mean by that in the past. Well, for one thing, Hebrews 1 has shown us here, he was very involved in creating the world. God, the Trinity, was creating the world, and Jesus was no exception to that. And think about it. If he created the world, let's just jump to today for a moment. If he created the world, and we're going to see next that he holds it together by the word of his power, then he can hold you together today, whatever struggles you are going through. What else did Jesus do yesterday in the past that is a help to us today? Well, just one other thing. We could spend all day here talking about that, but just one other thing we've seen in Hebrews. If you have your Bible in Hebrews, flip over to Hebrews chapter 2, and I want you to see verse 14. For starters, what else Jesus did yesterday, so to speak, is he died on the cross for us. And in Hebrews 2:14, we've seen so much in Hebrews of what Jesus did for us on the cross. But in Hebrews 2:14, we see that part of what he did is he destroyed Satan's power. And he freed us from the fear of death. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Well, once again, this is something Jesus did in the past, but Jesus is the same. So Jesus today has the power, just like he had the power to destroy the devil's work through the cross. Jesus has the power today to save you. You might be thinking, well, I've sinned too much for Jesus to save me. No, Jesus destroyed the work of the devil at the cross. You might have a temptation that has been holding on to you for decades in your life. Jesus has the power to destroy the work of the devil because of what he did in the past. And because Jesus is the same today, he still will do that for you today. Jesus has the same power, so we no longer need to fear Satan. And in fact, notice, we no longer even need to fear death itself. And this is because Jesus is the same today because of what he did yesterday. Well, those are just a couple things we've seen in Hebrews that Jesus did in the past. Let's look at today. What is Jesus doing today? When we say Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what is he doing today? Just a couple things we saw in Hebrews. And first, before we look at that, if you have your Bible, you might want to turn back to Hebrews 1:3. I'm going to look at Hebrews 1:3 in just a moment. But remember that as we talk about this, just because Jesus doesn't change doesn't mean that God doesn't work differently in different eras of salvation history. That's part of what we've been studying in Hebrews, right? God had planned, part of his plan of salvation was to go from the old covenant, as the writer of Hebrews called it, in Hebrews chapter 6 and 7, the Mosaic covenant, the law given through Moses. God had a plan to go from that to the new covenant in Jesus. That's a big theme that we've seen in Hebrews. So we're not saying that God doesn't work differently at different times in salvation history. But what we're saying is that in the same way, even though Jesus doesn't change, the way God will work through salvation history might change a bit, but that doesn't mean God changes. And so what we're looking at is Jesus' character. We're looking at what is his character so that we can understand what's the same today and what never changes. Look at Hebrews 1:3. What is he doing? Because he's fully human but fully God is the emphasis here. Hebrews 1:3. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. That's one thing Hebrews has shown us Jesus is doing today. If Jesus could hypothetically go out of existence all of a sudden, the universe would cease to exist. Think about that. Hebrews 1:3. He's upholding the universe by the very word of his power today. What else is Jesus doing today? If you're in Hebrews, flip over to chapter 4. Hebrews 4:14. I want us to see, again, this great, amazing emphasis we've seen in the book of Hebrews of Jesus being your high priest. Jesus being the final high priest, the only one who can bring you to God. But he's doing something about that today. Look at Hebrews 4:14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. And then Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a high priest still in heaven for us today. What did we just read in Hebrews 4:14? He still is before God's throne for you today. He is the reason that you can go to God. Did you see how he ties that in Hebrews 4:16? He is the reason you can have confidence when you go to God in prayer. That we don't need to fear God's holiness because Jesus brought God's holiness to us by what he's done on the cross. So we can know that we can be accepted if we are coming to him through Jesus. We've seen that he is the only and the faithful high priest. And notice too what I just read. What else is he doing today? He's helping you actively. It told us in Hebrews 4, he sympathizes with you because he lived in flesh. He experienced the temptations we experienced, but he never gave in to them. So he knows the full fury of those temptations, unlike we often do because we so often give in to them. So he can help you in your time of need. He can bring mercy and grace to you. What else is Jesus doing today? Just for a moment before we move on to the forever. And then see five comforting gospel truths that this means for us. What else is he doing today? Well, in Hebrews, we've seen five times that he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. That means many things. We've seen that as we've gone through Hebrews, those five times that it said he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But let me just say this to you today. Because Jesus is seated today, in that position of power and authority, showing that his salvation work, his atoning work, his death on the cross is done. Because Jesus sits, you can stand. Because Jesus sits, you can stand today. You can know that you have access to God. You can know that God is with you in whatever stressors you are going through right now. And because Jesus is the same today, we know that he will always be there for us at the Father's right hand, interceding for us. He's not going to change his mind about that. So we've seen briefly that Jesus is the same yesterday. Jesus is the same today. Let's look at a few things in Hebrews about what it means that he is the same forever. Go ahead, if you don't mind, go back to Hebrews chapter 1. We see this idea. It's almost like he gives this theme at the very beginning of Hebrews. As you've seen, we've been in chapter 1 three times now, and then wraps it up at the end of Hebrews. Hebrews 1 verse 8. Again, this was read in our scripture reading today. He's the prophesied final high priest and king, but not just today. He will reign forever. Look at verse 8. The author of Hebrews quotes Psalm 45, talking about Jesus, says, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And then in Hebrews 5, 6, another one you could look up if you'd like, the author of Hebrews quotes Psalm 110 to prove to us that Jesus is not only the final high priest, that Jesus is not only the high priest that was promised, but Jesus is the high priest forever. Forever. There's no other greater priest coming. There's no other priest that we need. In fact, he says, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek in Hebrews 5, 6. And then in Hebrews chapter 6, we see why this matters for us today. When Jesus died for us, we saw in Hebrews 6, what did he do? He went into, so to speak, in heaven. He went into God's presence, which was represented on earth in the temple in the Holy of Holies. And in Hebrews chapter 6, you can look at verse 19, if you can flip there in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, what we see is that Jesus put an anchor, so to speak, in God's presence for us. Listen to Hebrews 6, 19. It says, "We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest." What? Forever. Forever. Think about what that means for you today. Jesus never changes. Our faith in him never changes. What did I say earlier? The Christian faith cannot be improved upon. Because Jesus never changes is one reason. And so because of that, we change. We sin. We fail in our prayers, right? Sometimes. We fail in our Bible reading sometimes. We fail in our church attendance sometimes. All the things that God has given us to bring us, to help bring us closer to God in our relationship experientially, the way we experience our relationship with him. But guess what doesn't change? If you are in Christ, if you know Jesus as your Savior, he is your high priest forever. You're no less accepted when you fail at those things than you are when you're winning in those things. We experience him less when we're not taking advantage of that, but our relationship with him doesn't change. And why? Because Jesus is our priest forever. Forever. Also, Jesus won't die. Hebrews chapter 7, if you have your Bibles open, look at verse 23. The priest before would often have to stop their work. Why? He points out a really practical reason. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23, because they would die. But what's the difference with Jesus? Hebrews 7, 24. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You see, he can't die again, because after he rose from the dead, what did he do? He ascended back to heaven. That's really important because he didn't die again. And so he's still alive in heaven today. He is alive forever. He is life, as we see in the Gospel of John. He couldn't stay dead because Jesus is life. And so you don't have to wonder whether or not he will be able to intercede for you. You don't have to wonder if he will ever stop doing his work for you while you're here on earth. You don't have to wonder if he will ever die. You don't have to wonder if he will ever sin, is another thing that we see here. You don't ever have to wonder if he will change his mind about his love for you. Let me give you an example of how this is different than many other religions, and why this truth is so precious to us about Jesus never changing. And this should remind us one reason that we send out missionaries, one reason we prayed for our missionaries this morning who are going to a Muslim country to spread the truth about Jesus. A lot of people don't know that the God of Islam is a capricious God. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that the God of Islam is a God who changes his mind all the time. And because of that, Muslims have no assurance if God will show them mercy or not. So Muslims will say things like, "I hope for mercy from Allah. I know it's good to be religious, but you just never know. He might change his mind." Do you see the difference with Jesus? Do you see the difference with the God of the Bible? Do you see how precious this truth is and how important it is for us to embrace it and to get it out to others? Our very assurance of salvation depends on it. So what are five comforting truths that Jesus being the same means for you today? We're just going to spend a moment in each of these. The first is that it means that Jesus is still gentle and lowly of heart. What I did here is I just thought about, what do I see about Jesus in the Gospels? And based on what we've seen in Hebrews about Jesus being the same yesterday and today and forever, what is it about Jesus in the Gospels that is true today that we need to think about today? And I've just picked five of them. Jesus is still gentle and lowly of heart. Remember one time in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said so clearly what it is about his heart that he wants us to know. He revealed his heart to the point where he said, "This is my heart." Listen to it. Matthew 11, 28. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Do you hear that? Jesus himself describes his heart. He says, "I am gentle and lowly in heart." And then he says in Matthew 11, "And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What does Jesus say about himself when he describes his heart? Does he say, "I am harsh and out of reach"? No. He says, "I am gentle and lowly in heart." He says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Many times we've seen what this means as we've gone through Hebrews, that he can sympathize with us today because he walked on this earth like we walk on this earth. And he's gentle and lowly of heart with you. So you can come to him now and find rest. There's a book that I read during vacation that was such an encouragement to me. It's the reason, the main reason that I mentioned this verse as I think about, or this gospel truth here, that Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart today. I don't read books about ministry on vacation, but sometimes I do read books about God or Jesus so that I can bask in knowing him and growing in my own relationship with him. And I mention this to you because I would love for many of you to get this book for yourself and to think about these truths. It's called Gentle and Lowly, The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers by Dane Ortlund. Gentle and Lowly. And I want you to think about this aspect of Jesus' character. I want you to think about how Jesus doesn't change. So when he says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are heavy and laden, and I will give you rest." Why? Because he's gentle and lowly of heart. I want you to think about this, especially if you're suffering right now. Especially maybe if you're struggling with imagining that Jesus would love you or accept you because you know your sin. So first, we've seen five comforting gospel truths. The first, Jesus being the same today means that he's still gentle and lowly of heart. Next, it means that Jesus still loves sinners. This is good news. He spent time with them. Think about Jesus just for a moment in the Gospels. What did he do with Zacchaeus? He went into his house. He ate with him. He spent enough time in him, it seems, from Zacchaeus' response, to even get to know him and then to share the good news about himself with Zacchaeus. The gospel writers go out of their way to tell us that Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors. And this is good news that Jesus still loves sinners today, the same Jesus we see in the gospels. Because guess what? The Bible says we're all sinners. Jesus still loves sinners, and that means you, and that means me. And that also means, I want to point out to you, I don't want to downplay this either, that it also means people that we look at and we see maybe strongholds of sin in their lives, and it's really obvious to us. That's part of what's happening in the Gospels when they go out of their way to show us that Jesus loved these people. Jesus loves sinners, that he has the same heart for them today. Read the Gospels and look for this. and you'll be blown away by his love for sinners. And what does that mean for us today? It means that if you've come to Jesus, if you've come to God through Jesus' blood, you can know that you are forgiven, that you are accepted, that you are loved. Are you relying on him alone for your salvation? Once again, the book of Hebrews helps us with this. Hebrews 10:21. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So what we see here is that if you come to Jesus with all of your sin, then even your conscience is cleansed. And it talks about this washing with water. That's one of the pictures that we're going to see in baptism today, as we have a baptism after the service today. When we're baptizing, we're not washing dirt away. We are, but that's not the point of it. What we're trying to do is we're showing an outward physical action that shows what God has done inward in our hearts already through Jesus. Jesus loves sinners, and he still does today, and he still saves. So we've seen that Jesus being the same means Jesus is still gentle and lowly of heart. We've seen that this means Jesus still loves sinners. A little less time on the others here. Let's see what it means that Jesus still comes to you in your suffering. Think about how often, again, think back to the Gospels. How often, how did Jesus treat people who were suffering? We often struggle with people who are suffering, with moving towards them, either because we don't have the time or we're afraid we won't know how to help them. But think about how Jesus interacted with people who were suffering. You always see him moving towards suffering people, especially when you see people who showed their need for him. Let me give you a few examples. A blind beggar calls out to Jesus as he sits by the side of the road. He knows Jesus is his only hope. What does he do in this man's suffering? Jesus stops, and Jesus talks to him. A man who can't walk is sitting by the side of a pool, and he believes that if he gets into this pool at a certain time, that it will heal him, but he can't do it. And what does Jesus do? Jesus comes to him. A man who was healed by Jesus is kicked out of the synagogue because of his faith in Jesus. And I love this about this section. It's in John chapter 8. What does Jesus do after this man has been rejected because of his faith in Jesus? Jesus comes to him. As he's spiritually suffering because of his faith in Jesus, Jesus finds him. Jesus comes to him. There's a woman who's bleeding. She's ceremonially unclean with this sickness that she has. Everybody's afraid to touch her because of that. Jesus isn't afraid to touch her. Lepers are unclean. Everyone else is afraid to get near them, but Jesus touches them. The disciples on the road to Emmaus are spiritually suffering with doubt. What does Jesus do? He comes to them. If you're suffering today, know this, that Jesus comes to you in your suffering. Jesus will meet you where you're at. Jesus will meet you there. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. So we've seen this means that Jesus is still gentle and lowly of heart. Jesus still loves sinners. We've seen it means that Jesus still comes to you in your suffering. We need to see one that we could call negative here and think about this. This is important to check our own hearts. It means that Jesus judges religious hypocrisy. It strikes me as I read through the Gospels that over and over, the times that we often see Jesus bringing great judgment is usually on people who are extremely religious, yet hypocritical. For example, he heals a man on the Sabbath right in front of them. Why? Because they care more about the rules surrounding the Sabbath. They care more about religiosity. They care more about appearance than the heart or than caring about other people. Let me give you another example. When I read the Gospels, and I encourage you to read them again, you will see Jesus' character and notice that he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And his harshest critiques are always for those who think they have it together, even to the point of being extremely, extremely religious, but they won't come to God for salvation. So before we look at others, this is a check for our own hearts to say, am I just being religious? Am I just putting on a show? Here's one that'll get to us today. Am I just wearing a mask before God? Trying to look a certain way to other people, but my heart is far from God. And we need to know that Jesus judges religious hypocrisy. So we saw that he's gentle and lowly of heart. We saw that he still loves sinners. We saw that he comes to you in your suffering. We saw that he judges religious hypocrisy. But then here's the encouragement that we close with. Again, we come back to what does this mean for us today in a gospel light, in a positive light? It means that Jesus intercedes for you today. So maybe you're struggling. Maybe I touched on something in your heart with that last point. Maybe there's something else in your life that has come up as we've been looking at Jesus' heart for people today. Come to Jesus with that sin. Come to Jesus with what you're struggling with. Come to Jesus with anything in your heart that draws you away from God. And he intercedes for you today. Think about this. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He prayed for the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane while he was here on earth. That would be yesterday. Today, he brings you before the Father. Tomorrow, forever, we saw, he will continue to represent you before the Father. You will never have to wonder in heaven if you will be accepted by God or not, because Jesus is our high priest forever. And so we saw that Jesus being the same yesterday and today and forever is supposed to help us, encourage us, even save us if we believe in the gospel. But I just, as we close, I want to make sure that we remember that this good news doesn't end with us. We want to go incarnate ourselves. We want to show this same type of love to sinners and sufferers today. This kind of love for others cannot end with us if we have experienced the love of Jesus. So we receive comfort from the gospel, but then we are supposed to go share and show this love, this comfort that we have received that points to the God of all comfort. Ravi Zacharias tells an evangelist named Jakov, who preached the gospel in communist Yugoslavia. And it was a struggle for him because he was preaching the gospel as an itinerant preacher going around to villages. And it was a struggle because the formal church at the time existed, but it was just a pawn of the communist regime. And so he tells about this one guy that he talked to named Zimmerman, who said, you know, Jakov, I hear you talking about Jesus, but all these other guys who walk around in these robes and with these huge crosses on, they talk about Jesus too, but all they do is it's just a play on words. They really hate people. They really don't show the love of Christ. They only do what they do for power. And so Zimmerman said this. He said, what if a man stole your coat? I'm sorry, Jakov said this to Zimmerman. Zimmerman, what if a man stole your coat and he put it on and he went and he broke into a bank and the authorities came to you and they were trying to hold you responsible for the bank robbery? Do you think that would be fair? Do you think that would be a right way to think about that? And Zimmerman just said, I don't want to talk to you right now. Well, Jakov kept loving him, kept coming to him and encouraging him. kept telling him that Jesus is real and Jesus wants to save him. And one day, I'm going to read what Ravi Zacharias says. He says, finally, one day, Zimmerman asked, how does one become a Christian? And Jakov taught him the simple steps of repentance for sin and of trust in the work of Jesus Christ and gently pointed him to the shepherd of his soul. Zimmerman bent his knee on the soil with his head bowed and surrendered his life to Christ. And then listen to this. As he rose to his feet, wiping his tears, he embraced Jakov and said, thank you for being in my life. And then he pointed to the heavens and whispered, you wear his coat very well. May people say the same thing about us as we lean into Jesus' great love for us, the Jesus who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray. Father, as we have looked at Jesus, we have been reminded of things that are true of your heart in the gospel. And I pray, God, that we would embrace these things for ourselves. If somebody here doesn't know Jesus as Savior, if somebody listening online later or right now this morning doesn't know you as their own Savior, I pray that they would come to Jesus this morning so that they can have this kind of assurance before God, the God who never changes. We thank you for this precious truth that we confess and that we celebrate this morning. And God, I pray that at the same time as we embrace and remember and worship you for these great truths of the gospel that are so comforting to us, God, help us to share this comfort with others. Break our hearts for those who need this kind of gospel hope, who need this kind of assurance, who need this kind of love, even in their sin and their suffering. God, help us to be your ambassadors of this good news today. We pray that we would celebrate that good news as we head out for this baptism now, that we would remember your great work of salvation. We praise you for it in Jesus' name.